Say, I do want to spend a few minutes with you. I'm sure you're aware that the societies in 204 decided to split and become separate identities. And so that started a process in which we started to look at ourselves as a standalone division. And so what I'm going to do is give you a presentation. It was developed by the Committee for Realignment that is co-chaired by Newell Kitchen, who's in the back here. He's here to just check and make sure I don't commit him to anything that he's not agreeable to. And Kathy Ader is also on the committee. And Scott's also on the committee. So you're well represented here. Excuse me. I'm thinking we're going this way, right? Okay, I got to use this then. All right. So what I'm going to do is give you a presentation that basically defines where we've been, where we're going, and where we think we got to be. And what I'll try to do is get through the presentation because some questions that arise end up being answered throughout, and then we can get into a discussion at the end. The first thing we have to do is understand our history, and I'll do this very quickly. Excuse me. ASA was formed in 1907, and in 1931, we were composed of soils and crops, and the soils started to put together their organization of divisions. Crop science followed the next year, adding more divisions. And in 1947, those were expanded one more time. In 1954, ASA started to develop the divisions as we know them today, with the Agronomic Education Division in 1954, to the point that we developed into 11 divisions that were slightly modified again in various years, 84, 78, 95, to change the names of divisions, but the divisions were still intact. So this is what we look like today, and the question is what do we need to look like and how do we need to operate now that we no longer have the other two societies as part of us. So what happened at 204, the boards approved the restructuring so that each of the societies would operate independently, and that was precipitated by probably a decade of the discussion, I think perhaps started by the Soil Science Society, where they wanted to be able to move on and do things on their own, join forces with other societies that had relevance. Last year was an expression of that with the Geologic Society joint meeting. That took 10 years to get into place, and they want to do more of those sorts of things. And so that's what happened in 2004. In 2006, the boards began meeting independently, so they're starting to separate clearly. In May, we developed a new strategic plan with a vision and goals specific to being restructured as a standalone division. And just a point of matter, we will be looking at revising the strategic plan in 2010, for a lot of good reasons we need to change that. In 2007, the ACCESS, or the Alliance of Crop, Soil, and Environmental Science Societies, was incorporated. It did not begin functioning until officially as a 501c3 corporation until January 1st. So we have ACCESS operating now, and basically what happened is the society separated, but we all had the same staff, bank accounts, you know, everything was all mingled, and it wasn't reasonable to untangle all that and say go our separate ways. So what they decided to say is to form ACCESS and have a business function associated that basically guided societies, of which we are the three forming members. And the idea of ACCESS is that it would someday incorporate other societies and do their business functions, and that does not occur yet, but it may. So we look like this. In 2004, we started to look like this, and now we need to talk about what we're going to do. So the next consideration is, so if we are now a standalone division, what do we look like? What should we look like? Who are we? What should we be aspiring to? We are a society that's 102 years old. This is our 101st annual meeting, and it is something that that we have a lot of pride in, but we also need to be able to look at what we want as seasoned members and what our new scientists and professionals desire in a society called the American Society of Agronomy. Excuse me. So our identity concerns about divisions were that all C, AC and S divisions were part of an ASC with board representation. So we had crops and soils both had their boards, and then they joined together, and we'd have a large board meeting of all three societies, of which ASA had 15, so there'd be a meeting of 45. That no longer exists. Starting 2009, members must have ASA membership in order to belong to an ASA division, although you do not have to be join a division if you want to be a member. So it's not a requirement, but you do have to be a member to be a division member. And ASA governance is based on a division structure. Not all members are represented by that structure any longer, and there's disproportional representation from one division to the other. And so we have to sit down and think about what we want to do here. As many of you know, our societies don't look the same. We are declining in membership regularly since our peak in the mid-80s. This year, I think the numbers are somewhere around 7,300, so we're down again this year. Part of that may be attributed to the economy, but we are still in a declining mode. Excuse me. And this is 2005 data, so this is 5 years old now, which means move everybody up 5 years. We are a society that has a disproportional membership in what Newell likes to call the seasoned group, of which I am a member. And we are an aging society. This is very typical of the other two societies as well. And we have not as many younger members replenishing our ranks as we would like to have. So the future of our society is somewhat in jeopardy. We're declining, and our demographics do not support a healthy long-term society. And those are that's just the reality of it. In the case of young folks, I'll just use an example from our university at Washington State. We had three soils positions and a weed science position that retired, not going to be filled, but we're filling genetics, we're filling places. And basically the rule is, where are we going to put positions that can find grant money and make it work, so it's all based on grants and graduate student development, and they don't look at these other traditional positions as being there. That group then doesn't necessarily associate with the traditional societies. And so we have to find out what we need to be in the future if we're going to stay alive here. Excuse me. Okay, so to create identity for ASA membership, agronomy needs to be reestablished as a standalone science. And so what does that look like? And this is one definition of agronomy. But it does involve the management of land for the production of food, fiber, fuels, and also the delivery of environmental services. And so however you define it, we need to know what that looks like as a professional society. So third consideration, we need to enable responsiveness to emerging needs and interests of our members. Who are our new members? Who are we, and how do we behave? How we would like to organize ourselves? How would we like to be as professionals? And this is basically the crux of our conversation. Responsiveness means unshackling ourselves from constraints imposed by the presence of a structure, in our case, divisions, requiring bylaws to be changed whenever programs are added or revised. So we have, for example, two provisional divisions right now, 10 and 11. Those have to have decisions made on them as to whether they'll be full-blown divisions. We have one in progress, which is the organic division, that's been kind of on hold, and they're kind of frustrated as to how long is it going to take. And then we have all new emerging issues that we just need to be more flexible with. So that led to a lot of different ideas. Our strategic plan had some forward-thinking ideas about how we need to be able to innovate, that we need to be a powerful advocate for and voice for advancing agronomy. Be very proactive in that. I shared with the group this earlier today that we had a meeting with the Canadian Society of Agronomy, and they say in their government headquarters, agronomy is a dirty word. And obviously we can't have that. But I went to the World Food Prize two or three weeks ago, and agronomy sounds like it's the salvation of the world. So we've just got to get the right picture out there and make it work. We need to support new program and service introductions, and we need to do it faster. If you look at the next generation, it's all about being fast, isn't it? And so we've got to be able to do that. We need to be leading edge innovative forums, and we need to articulate a vision of who we want to be. So we look like this. We have a ASA organization and governance. The supporting bylaws did not evolve from an era requiring rapid response. And so we have a history of getting to where we are today. And as I heard at the World Food Prize, if you do what you do, you get what you get. In other words, we're still, if we continue to do what we're doing, we're going to look the same forever. So that doesn't seem to be working for us, and we need to move on. So restructuring is needed to facilitate program development for primary interest of all our members and provide an efficient and equitable system for governance of the society. And those are two separate elements. So to do this requires us to decouple. Right now, we have divisions that have both programmatic and governance issues. We're talking about decoupling those and looking at them separately. And so back to our goals again, facilitate development for program development for primary interests of all our members and efficient and equitable system for governance. We're going to operate under five principles. The first is that members should be able to readily identify their programmatic area of interest, and that is not possible for everyone in our society at this point. Our programmatic areas will be nimble, easily changed to reflect emerging interests and problem areas, and we already can see that now with the emerging issues in the world that we have to be able to do something very quickly. I'll just give you an example, food security, or input security, fertilizer. You start thinking of the things that are emerging, and we are not incapable of organizing with our current structure on those things. Programmatic areas can be added or deleted easily without disrupting or requiring governance change, so we set up a system where we can have new interest and not have to go through a long, drawn-out process. Governance through the board of directors will reflect broad areas of membership of interest, and what that means is boards of directors, by definition, are small entities that govern the society under the rules of a nonprofit organization. It does not require everyone in the society to be there, a finite group. So that's going to be a smaller group than what we're thinking about. And the board of directors structure for these broad areas will remain relatively stable over time to minimize the need for bylaw changes. We do have to have bylaws by law, and we want to keep that fairly stable as we do our programmatic areas. So what do we look like? That was not interesting. Okay, what changes are being proposed? I'm going to look at the programmatic services side of this first. And the discussion has started to center on the focus of the idea of communities. And the question is, what are they? A community represents members with a common interest or passion or a natural cluster. I mean, fertility. Is an example. Environmental quality is a division now, but it's an example of a cluster. Here members will develop the majority of their society associations that magnify science and science delivery. So it'll be a place where someone feels they have a home and can do their science. Themes can come from a diverse array of topics, whether they be a specific scientific investigation area, analysis tools like statistical approaches, educational roles, geographic areas, communication techniques, or emerging challenges, amongst other ideas. The feedback from process was a task force to look into this as an issue in the first place, and a survey was done in 2008 that was taken of our membership. I don't know how many of you replied to that. But a lot of the ideas and organization here are based on that survey as well as the committees who have put things together. So if you listen to what people say in the survey and what has been carried on in conversations, private and public, these are the kinds of communities that arise. There are many of them here. There could be a lot more. And as you'll see, that we're not saying that these are the communities, but they are ideas of what people have talked about. How it would work, ASA members could elect to be associated with as few or many communities as they choose. And how many here are members of more than one society? The majority. That's pretty common. The number of communities a member can affiliate with will expand and contract to reflect member interest. And we'll talk about a little bit more about how that works. Create a community very quickly, not 3 to 4 year process like it is with divisions, but you simply petition the ASA board with names, description of the community, who will be involved with it, and an idea of some activities that that group might form. Communities can that show little or no activity over time will be easily devolved. That'll either be a self-dissolution process where you just say we're done, or someone looks and finds out that you're not doing anything, and so you might as well just pack it in and forget it. And so these things can come and go in real time. just to let you know that the community names that are being suggested are not set in stone. They're just a reflection of comments from people in both the survey and conversation. And I think people will define those more clearly. Some communities currently proposed might not even emerge through the restructuring. That's probably a given that some of the things on the list just won't make it. And we are saying that community viability requires leadership, so a community cannot exist without leadership within it. So we're saying that you must have that, and if you can't find leadership, then the community cannot exist. What about the governance side? What is it? Governance of society is accomplished through a board of directors. This is a very common function in any nonprofit organization, and particularly societies. The board today consists of the president-elect president and past president as the executive committee, and the board is currently represented by one person from each of the divisions, plus ex officio members, the editor-in-chief, and the CEO of the society. The board functions in policymaking and following society bylaws, in the area of strategic planning and implementation, and in finance and resource management, including now directing the Access Board. All three societies, their executive committees, are the executive committee of the Access Board, along with the CEO of the society. So, what are governance look like? Now they're talking in terms of sections. So we have a large section of communities, can be any number, and then some derivative of those communities that represent them that we're calling sections. And this is where Newell left, but this is where it gets a little sticky, because if you have communities, then you have to organize communities as groups so that they have section for the purpose of governance. And these are some of the section names that have come up and the concepts that have come up. Right now there are, what, 3, 6, 7, which means there would be one board representative to the board of directors from each one of these, along with some others as we spoke about earlier. The idea of sections is still new, but let me give you a little bit more background here. In order to provide board representation for governance purposes to facilitate communication and coordination of programs, aggregates of communities must associate with a section. So there is a linkage between the communities. Here are the list of communities, and they were grouped by the current realignment task force at the best they could to say, okay, here's some organization of communities that would then have sections associated with them. So on the left-hand side would be, here's communities that cluster together, and they would organize themselves on the governance side under the section of agronomic production practices or whatever there. A lot of this is based on the survey conducted in 2008. 79% of the respondents agreed that community and section groupings make sense. 62% agreed that communities more effectively represent ASA than the current structure. 77% agreed that they see one or more communities in which they would actively participate, and 64% support this new structure. Okay, that means there's a percentage of people that didn't support any of it, and there's going to be some discussion and disagreement. So where are we? Division Alignment Task Force was led by Lowell Mosier and Lee Summers. They came to the Board of Directors of ASA in our May meeting, gave us their report, which had recommendations, said we think you ought to go through division realignment. That was approved by the Board, and again, this was through the review of their report and the member survey. The Board developed a transition team, which some of the members are here. They have been working very hard to try to prepare for this meeting. They're the ones who developed this PowerPoint presentation. The idea is that there would be something prepared for presented to the ASA community members to vote on the restructuring plan. And the reality of it is that this could get voted down. So if we don't pass something in some sort of realignment, we will continue on until we change it. And that has important ramifications for the elections this year. We'll try to initiate the communities at the annual meetings in 2010 in California, and with the idea that, given approval by members, the new SAA restructured plan will be implemented starting the 1st of January 2011. So that, in a nutshell, is where we're at with this realignment discussion. I'm open for questions, and others in the room that are on the task force can probably better answer than I can. Yes?
The board then will have 7 members, is that correct?
No. We also have things like the CCA, which currently has a board member. Help me out here. Who else is on the? We have ASF is on the board. Pardon me?
If you're considering
Right. And that's what those are within the society. But I wish Newell was here, because we got into this discussion earlier, and I don't think the decision on what the transition or the section. Number of sections and their names and how the board is fully developed is complete yet. And I think there's some opportunities. We had a discussion in our last group that let's just use, for example, that there were 100 communities and each community had a leader. Well, we've got a lot of leadership now in the society. I think that's a good thing. But then how do we go from that to governance, which has to be a much less number than 100? So we have to get to some sort of board representation. And boards, right now, even though the board members are from divisions, we don't sit around and talk about division needs at the board. It's a much higher level in the organization that we function at. Yes?
I would add that the current conversation where we are right now is that the board will not be any larger than it currently is.
That's an assumption or a desire to not overstack the board with too many people. Boards have responsibilities. They have fiscal responsibilities to the organization. They have responsibilities in terms of the evaluation of the CEO and making sure things are done properly. They have responsibilities for strategic planning and for making sure that those things are achieved. And they deal with problems or with opportunities, depending on what we're talking about. You heard Alan last night talk about our new building. We spent a lot of time on that in the board meetings this year because it was important. It was a good thing, but that kind of thing. I think if we look at it, the viability of the society will be in the communities, and governance will be a very important part of what we do because of who we are. But I think communities is where the dynamics are.
Will be on the membership in ASA and also the fee structuring for the members.
You mean, do you think fees are going to go up? I'm not quite.
Yeah, do you think fees will go up to the same? is there a possibility that there would be more members that, or more professionals that want to be in ASA that along with crop science or soil?
Okay. All right. Let's start with today. We had a fairly good year in spite of the fact that we got clobbered by the financial recession. We operated in the black in many areas. Our publications are doing well. Even though our membership is down, we're still doing okay. We are concerned about the long term. For example, our publications, a number of subscriptions are diving, and our expectation within a few years there will be no money from subscriptions because you have to give the journal away. Basically, that's going to be the case. We're seeking alternative forms of revenues and expansion in our membership, And we are doing things with CCA, for example, in India, potentially in South America and Africa, to expand that program. Although that program is managed by ASA, it is basically operates with its own board and its own budget. We have 13,000 members in CCA that we have to also look at how we want to be as a society. Do we want to be a science society or a professional society or a combination? And we're having those discussions as well. But if you looked at the combination of ASA and ICCA and the potential for expansion, well over 20,000 members. I mean, we could be very, very strong in terms of membership and our potential influence on what we do as an agronomist if we are willing to expand beyond just the scientist level. And that's a discussion on both sides of that issue, not just from ASA side, but also from CCA. Our expansion in the world, I had a meeting one of the Borlaug fellows that came to WSU, got a chance to meet with them in Africa, and they have there's no African Society of Agronomy, and they would like one. And so is there any way we could help host them and bring them in, and, you know, how do we do that? And so I think there's opportunities internationally, and there's opportunities at the professional level. And I think there's opportunities within the scientist level who are not coming to us because they have said, we look at your division and we don't know how we fit in. We will know, but we do need everyone's input. It's clear, Kathy, right? We want input. And the slide set, the documents, everything that you're going to need to review will be available. I don't know how they're going to formulate the actual plan that will be voted on. If you guys gotten to that point, is exactly how you're going to execute this election, this vote in June?
We have to go through bylaw. I mean, as a transition team, we are working through the issues and then we bring it to the board for full vote. So right now, the section, the community names, those were approved by the board to go forward for formal discussion amongst all the members.
Right.
So as we continue through the process, i.e. this idea of who's on the board, how big is the board, and that sort of structuring, that will all have to get vetted out through the bylaws. So the bylaws committee will be dealing with a lot of things, and then that will go towards the membership board vote.
Right. We are driven by our bylaws, and this will be a bylaws change. The division structure, how they operate, is all defined in our bylaws, and what the vote will be, it'll be a vote to change the bylaws to accommodate the new structure. And the bylaws are available on the website. By the way, with our new website, every document going back in history, I think, just about is available to look at. So our bylaws, our strategic plans, our minutes of meetings, these documents and so forth, the PowerPoint, everything's available now. Harold, this is your meeting, and I don't want to take up your time, but this is a big deal for our society. And if it's not this, then the question to you is what? If not this, then what?
And certainly, this will certainly impact our division. I'm not sure that's a bad thing, yes. It's sometimes very difficult to figure out exactly where I fit within ASA anymore. When we were the tri-societies, and I can pick out, you know, a point in ASA, a point in CSSA, and SSSA, so yeah, those three areas comprise what my interests are. But since we made that separation, it's become more difficult.
Well, I've been S6 my whole life, and I was division chair in S6, and I've done a lot of things in S6 over the years. And I'm very active in A, and I don't see that changing, actually.
Right. To me, this addresses some of the questions I have in my mind. I see this as positive, and actually look forward to it.
What'll be interesting to see is if we start this, as to what exactly does formulate in communities. I think we may be surprised. Yes?
Now, as a transition, did you guys consider maintaining some divisions and communities side by side?
We have to have the current structure has to stay in place until the bylaws are changed. Okay, so we have to go through the elections. We have to have everything set up as though nothing was going to change. But when it does change, then everything changes. We're going to go, if a division, let me give you A8, for example. A8's a conglomeration of communities already. It is. It's got people in organic. It's got cropping system people. It's got precision ag. So I can see that group going, okay, we're going to come out of there 4, 5, 6, 7 communities. And all of a sudden, that's what it's going to look like. What Newell will tell you, there will be no division names in A anymore. We'll not be numbered anymore. We will belong to a community or communities, and those communities will have their governance through a section. And how that all works with different leaderships among communities, I mean, that may in fact evolve into something very useful. I don't know how it'll come about.
But I presume that resident education, for example, is going to stay the way it is. So I'm just wondering,
if resident education feels that continues to make a community, it'll stay a community. But you may find out in your membership that there's a split and somebody wants to do something different. Like K through 12, for example, may emerge as a community that could be very important to us in terms of the long-term future of our society. So I think we'll see. What may happen is the 11 divisions may just go into communities called the same thing, and then we start moving on. But I actually think there will be new communities emerging fairly quickly because there are people who feel left out and want to be something different already. Yes?
Just a comment. I appreciate the point that you're making, I think, and that is that there's potential chaos and transition. Maybe something we ought to consider, perhaps, is to have something set up where before there's actually a dissolution of divisions, you can select, there's some preformed communities where you can basically say, yeah, I'll go there first. So at least I've got a place to land when my division is set. Maybe that's something we ought to consider as committees. Making sure that there is a place, there's not just this. It doesn't exist at any point in time where you don't exist anywhere.
Programmatically, I think the transition won't be as difficult. We have to make the transition somewhat abruptly on the governance side. It has to be, we cannot go without governance at any point in time. So we have to stay there. So that has to be done. I think the community stuff can kind of feel its way through a bit until it says this works for us. We got a great transition team. You got two of the members here. Newell was here. He got called out apparently. And please contact them and get your input into them. And everybody's listening. And the reality of it is, I asked Newell earlier. I said, "You got a vote no plan?" And he goes, "Yeah." You know, I mean, if the bylaws are not approved, this does not move. But I still think that leaves us with a tremendous problem. So we have to do something. I'm good.